Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Tom Fitzmaurice with the second course of The Food Show, in which we sit down and we talk about what's to eat and what's to drink and what's to smell and what's to buy for your kitchen and all the other things that put together a delicious meal or just a delicious taste will work just fine. We do all of that. If there's anything you ever wanted to find out about restaurants, about cooking, about buying groceries,
we don't know it.
Call us. Call us and we'll show you all the things that we have no clue as to what it's about.
Hey, come on in.
Well, look who's here. We haven't seen you. Well, the last time I saw you was at that party uptown, which was
Molly Kimball just walked in. The human dynamo.
You know, I probably get in more trouble than I get into not so trouble. But the lady who runs NPASS, which is the North Shore.
Alyssa.
Alyssa is her name. she is the, we're talking about singing at this level. I mean, she's just incredible. And the way she puts this on, she's bouncing off the wall. I mean,
she's effusive.
She's effusive. That's a good.
She is.
Anyway, just something about her reminded me of you or her.
Two beautiful blondes.
A lot of electricity and a lot of smiles and
yes. Well, this all sounds really nice to walk into.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, you'd love her. I mean, really, she's terrific.
All right. Now. Let's let her talk.
What for?
Are you okay?
I'm good.
Yeah,
okay.
She's seen it before. We've all been
right.
here for
Molly
a while.
Molly Kimball, for those of you who don't know, and I can't imagine that is too many people, has kind of changed the way we're eating in town, huh?
At least changing the options of what we have to eat. Yes, yeah, but we're not taking anything away, so we don't want people to think, you know, guarding their favorites protectively.
I want my jambalaya.
Right, that stuff is still there, but at least giving the other options when we want to make that healthy choice.
Yeah, and a lot of people are doing that now.
Yeah, so we've started with restaurants here in New Orleans about 6 years ago, working with our local restaurants to incorporate nutritious items onto the menu with the Eat Fit seal. And what's cool is that has expanded. We've expanded beyond New Orleans to Baton Rouge, North Shore, Lafayette, Shreveport. And we have Eat Fit in all these regions, and the restaurants are embracing it. So it's really cool. And we've expanded to festivals, markets, grocery stores. And now we have a cookbook.
Yeah, it's terrific.
Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you.
As long as we've brought it up, what's the name of it?
So the name is The Eat Fit Cookbook. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you start this 6 years ago? Like 6 years ago was the first time you talked to anyone or the first time someone said, I'm putting this on my menu?
The first time that I talked to anybody was actually 2012. So 7 years ago.
Okay.
And we started kind of having, I guess, a bit of a pilot and seeing what does this even look like and what's our process look like. And so on the back end of it is we have a recipe analysis software and we get the recipes from the chefs. And that part's not the exciting part. It's not the exciting part for people to hear about when we talk about food, but it is kind of how we figure out what fits Eat Fit. Well, back when we very first started, we didn't even have the budget for the recipe analysis software, and we did the first few restaurants all on Excel spreadsheets. It was antiquated. But just figuring out, what does this look like? What's our parameters look like? How do we communicate with the restaurants? What are we even going to call this? And so that was kind of 2012 was when those conversations started, and then spring of 2013 was when we really pressed go.
Okay, who did you press go with? Who was the first restaurant that said, okay, we're going to do this?
So Commander's Palace.
Oh, it was?
That figures.
Yeah, so Commander's Palace.
They're always in the middle of everything.
They had a relationship with our cardiology department at Ochsner for years with a program called Good and Hearty that was a lot looser than Eat Fit is. And so it was lower sodium, lower animal fats, lower saturated fats, but it could still be things like white crust pizza, just lower sodium version of that. The sugars weren't so low. So I went to T. Martin of Commander's Palace and said, hey, we'd love to kind of transition into something that's a little bit more stringent, a little tighter. And she was all over it. And she said, absolutely. And then went to the next real restaurant that kind of embraced it was Vega Tapas Cafe mm-hmm. on Metairie Road. And so Glenn Hogue is a friend of ours and said, hey, Glenn, I think you like me and trust me. Do you want to do this? And he said, absolutely. And then we had just, friends who knew and said, I'll jump into this and see how it goes. And so we kind of just really started small with the one, then two, then six. I remember when we got to 25 restaurants, I was ecstatic. You know, it was like, we made it.
How long did it take you to get to 25 restaurants?
You know, I would have to even just go back in my notes and see, because at the time I also was operating with just me and intern help, but also still seeing clients full time, still doing that role full time. And then kind of this was picking up and really gaining steam. We now have two dietitians at our fitness center who see clients full time. I'll still see some of my existing clients, but Eat Fit has really grown to a point where it's not fair to the client when I'm also pulled in these different directions. So I really was kind of just keeping up, and I would say that probably 25 restaurants might have been after about 2 years. And so then in 2016, about 3 years into it, we got to about 65 restaurants pretty quickly. And then Ashner said, hey, let's give a little bit more support to this. And so we were able to hire a full-time position to help do the NOLA part of Eat Fit NOLA, which has been great.
I just have been going through your book here, and it's a kind of a restaurant guide almost. I mean, just
she's got 350 now, right?
Some of them are even obscure. Like I just at random, I picked through one of them, the Blue Line Sandwich Company. Well, that's over on Metairie Road.
They were at the party.
They were at the party. Okay.
They actually provided something for the party.
I flipped a few more sheets of paper. Ye Old College Inn.
Yeah.
Superior Grill.
Now, you wouldn't expect a place like Ye Old College Inn to embrace it. I mean,
exactly.
This is a place where you're going to have the hamburger steak and...
It's not where people think that they're going to eat fit, that's for sure.
Exactly.
And Chef Baker from Yale College Inn, he's so creative with us. He works with us well. They have the garden over there, which is cool. Brad McGee of Blue Line Sandwich Company, you know, he makes so much of his ingredients from scratch. He has a lot of control over what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. So we have now over 300 restaurants that have Eat Fit on the menu across the state.
That's fantastic.
I wouldn't have thought that, you know, and I actually had to do the count. I think you asked a little bit ago, how long did it take to get to 25? I sort of just keep looking forward and, you know, head down, focus, and let's look at what's our next step, and don't always do a good job of saying, look at what we've done.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not always doing
that. But it's
that.
Astonishing when you do sit back and think about that, what you've done in 5 years is kind of mind-blowing, really.
A friend of mine came in for the cookbook launch party, and she's one of my closest friends, and she said essentially the same.
It's,
and she's like,
wow.
I hear you talking about it along the way, but to kind of see it all summed up. So yeah, I think when you're in it and all the things that we have that we're still looking forward and we see all these other things that we want to accomplish, it's hard to sometimes, it still is. I think that there's so much more that we think there's all this other stuff to tackle, you know?
Well, what's on that list of things to tackle? I mean, obviously to spread it further and further, but like what's your fantasy?
You know, I don't have a plan of where we want to be in 3 years or 5 years because I didn't think that we would be doing what we're doing now. And so I think it's grown very organically, and I've allowed it to just, when opportunities come up that seem like, man, this is really cool, we need to jump on this, or we need to follow through with this, that hasn't been something that's always been planned. And it sometimes drives maybe our leadership crazy because it's really just more organic. So I don't know what's on the horizon, but I do know that as we've expanded into each region, we have to figure out the food culture of that region. It's no secret that Shreveport and Monroe are vastly different than New Orleans and Lafayette. The New Orleans and Lafayette food cultures are more similar to each other, you know, than what we look at as Shreveport. So we're having to kind of figure out what that looks like and how do we communicate with those restaurants and with the community, because it is different in each. So that's probably our challenge now.
Yeah. When I say, though, what is your fantasy? What is your fantasy? What did you know, Eat Fit World? I mean, I'm just assuming yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be cool. Yes, I think that would be cool. I think to where it becomes part of the culture and things are you know, it's just used as kind of an adjective. Hey, is that Eat Fit? You know, mm-hmm. And
people get excited about it. There's no doubt about that. I'm sure you've seen that.
We do, and it especially at places they don't expect it, like the Superdome and festivals, you know, where they think, there's not going to be anything here.
The one that got me was the number of people I went to high school with and other people I work with, and then they're telling me, what's the deal on all this weight loss, and you look like you've lost 80 pounds. Stop it. You're bothering us.
But you're not bothering them, huh? You look fantastic.
Sure I am. Every chance I get.
On purpose.
You know, somebody called a couple of days ago or last week whose girlfriend lives in Minnesota. And he was looking for a diner culture. You know, I want my girlfriend needs some chicken noodle soup kind of thing. And so I went onto my soapbox about food cultures and things like that. But Doug started looking up things in Minnesota, and he was talking about fried butter. So I'm not going to declare you a superstar until you can do fried butter Eat Fit. Eat Fit fried butter. There you go.
I have a hard time even visualizing what fried butter
too.
Is.
Me too. And I don't want to even think about it. So we might want to skip that one. Anyway, we're talking to Molly Kimball, who is the Eat Fit NOLA girl, who has really kind of, I said single-handedly, but you can't do it single-handedly, but you started it. It's your vision.
It's my vision, yes, and absolutely not single-handedly. That's the coolest thing. So when we started, you know, I mentioned back in 2013 was our start, our leadership at Ochsner said, our then CEO, Pat Quinlan, was like, what can we do to have a bigger impact on the community and wellness? And besides you meeting with clients in this one-on-one fashion, I said, what if we worked with restaurants to do this? And so I've had the support from our leadership, which is cool, because they basically allowed me to use the time and my resources to do it. But now as we've expanded, and we have a dietitian in each of these regions who embraces North Shore, who embraces Baton Rouge, Lafayette, and Shreveport as if it's these are their own, you know, mm-hmm. And I don't step in and I don't say what to do. Because they figure out that culture and they connect with the people in those. And so to have something that started as in my idea here in New Orleans, and then to see other people just take it and run with it in their spaces is just really neat.
I'm sure.
You know, the pieces have come together. There is one, my mother, who worked at Ochsner for about 16, well, not a, to be exactly 16 years. And she would get worked up if somebody at the hospital would pronounce it Ochsner. And she would say, it's Ochsner. I know him personally.
Yeah.
It is Ochsner.
I remember I had him on the show once many, many years ago, and I used to say Ochsner, too. And then he said, no, it's Ochsner. So it sounds weird to say, but anyway. All right, 260-6368, if you would like to talk to Molly. She is the Eat Fit NOLA girl, and you've seen it on all the menus around town, dishes that are Eat Fit. And we're going to talk specifically about what that means when we come back, okay? WWL 105.3 FM, HD2.
Oh, yeah, it's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. It's nice to be here with you talking about food and restaurants and everything. Marianne is here, but
Hi.
Wouldn't be a good show without her. And Molly Kindle is here. And she is,
Eat Fit NOLA girl.
The Eat Fit NOLA girl.
That's what I call her.
I don't know.
The Eat Fit NOLA girl. Okay, so tell us, what is Eat Fit NOLA? What does that mean when you see it on a menu?
So Eat Fit.
She's not going through that.
She switched on us, Doug.
Boop, 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 boop. We'll get that worked out in a second.
Maybe.
We're getting you now.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
So Eat Fit is something that I created, as we were saying, back in 2013 as a way to make it easy for people when they're dining out. So I've been a dietitian now for 20 years at Ochsner Fitness Center working with clients one-on-one, and one of the things that I saw that was a barrier is when someone's trying to improve their wellness, if they're going to the grocery store, they're doing their meal prep, they're planning ahead, they're good, they're solid. But when they start living their life and go into their restaurants, their festivals, out doing the things in the spaces that they want to do with their friends, family, all bets are off because there's no way that they would know what's in it. So the idea is, let's create nutritional parameters for Eat Fit that are essentially what we want our clients to eat when they're dining out. So Eat Fit means that it is no white carbs at all, so no white rice, pastas, flours, etc. lower sodium, but not no sodium. And we actually use the American Heart Association's upper limits for sodium to kind of use that criteria. And it's basically, it's still manageable for restaurants. It definitely, there's enough to get flavor in there. And sometimes they'll go too extreme with no salt added. We don't really need that, you know, and there's kind of that happy medium. No added sugar in most cases. And then a heavier emphasis on plant-based fats more than animal saturated fats, and then fruits, vegetables. So it's really what we would call clean eating for people who want to feel better.
Marianne doesn't like fruit.
Marianne doesn't like margarine. Marianne does not like margarine at all. And I am astonished at how much margarine is still being used out there.
Yes, at least a lot of the margarines now, or kind of like non-butter alternatives, or at least not the trans products they were, because those didn't even melt. I did an experiment one time. I had butter, and then I had some of the plant-based butter alternatives like Earth Balance and stuff like that. And then I had the stick margarine, the parquet. It was June, and I put a little square of each of them on a plate and put it outside. Of course, all of them melted immediately because it's June here in New Orleans. That stick margarine square stayed a square.
Uh-oh.
In the heat of New Orleans, out in the sun, in the summertime, I thought, this is, something's not right here. But so we'll use, when we do use oils, it's usually plant-based oils. Usually the restaurants will use olive oil, but in baking they may use coconut oil. So just the criteria that if someone wants to eat clean, look better, feel better, we've got you covered. And then if someone has issues with inflammatory issues, this is a natural anti-inflammatory plan. If someone has blood sugar, blood pressure, cholesterol issues, all of those things are kind of fit and met with the nutritional criteria. So we started that, worked with the restaurants, created these dishes, and now we have so many really cool recipes. We said, let's compile them all into this cookbook. So the restaurants, of course, had to scale them for the home chef, because they're for restaurant quantities. And so that was a challenge. You know, you talk with a chef about how to scale it down to serve 4 to 8. And we had them all home tested by regular people in their kitchens, every single recipe, because there were things that a chef may make an assumption that we know what something is and we have no idea what that is, you know, or where to find something, or and also the measurements. So we did have to work back and forth and make sure that it was all could be replicated in the home. And that's been really neat to see people's photos that they're sending or posting on social when they're making things from this, and they'll kind of, a lot of times what they're doing is making it from the cookbook and holding up their version in front of the photo of the dish from the restaurant, which is cool to see it coming to life.
Yeah. Were there, I'm sure there are stories that you've told that you probably wouldn't even want to tell on the air, but some really funny stories about people that you approached in New Orleans who have been well entrenched in New Orleans cuisine for a long time. When you first brought this idea to them, they went, huh?
We still have that. We do. You do. So I guess earlier when you said, what's my wish? What would I love? I would love for those doubters to say, all right, this is maybe, you know, and that is happening, that some who 3 years ago said no are now saying, hey, yeah, we are getting more requests for this, and I do think it's a fit. And currently right now, actually, we're working with probably half a dozen of those who have now said, yes, this is a fit. So we're adding those in as we speak. So it is something that whenever I get a no, I'll add in my own head.
Check
not
back
now.
In 6 months.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We still do get some of that and a little bit of, are you crazy? I saw someone who had posted about the cookbook on her Facebook page. I believe it was just like yesterday. And someone from out of town said, people in New Orleans don't eat healthy. This is basically saying this is insanity. What is this cookbook even trying to do? Mm-hmm. And the person who posted it was really great about saying, right, and we do indulge in all those things, but these are great to try for the home. So there's still that giant stereotype.
Well, it's not a stereotype. And the thing I say about stereotypes is that they're true. So, I mean, we do eat really heavy things, a lot of fried everything and a lot of salty. I mean, this is the good stuff. This is why you come to New Orleans and gain 20 pounds. You know, I mean, it is. It's delicious, but it's, you know.
You know, one of the restaurants I mentioned had been a no a couple of years ago and is coming back. It's a seafood restaurant. Mm-hmm. And the owners said, we have to do this, and we're pushing through it. And this was a conversation just a couple of weeks ago. And the chef said to the owners, do I need to remind you that we are a fried seafood restaurant? And the owner said, no, we're a seafood restaurant, mm-hmm. and we have actually a lot of grilled dishes, you know. Mm-hmm. And but the chef had to go, oh, yeah, you're right. And then now that chef is enthusiastic about it. But at first was like, this can't work, you know. And so explaining, too, that it doesn't mean dry. It doesn't mean no oils. It doesn't mean, you know, so it's we can still have flavor. We can still have fun with it. If I get a lackluster recipe for just dry chicken over lettuce, that's we don't want that. That's not eat fit. You know, we technically it is, but that's not what we want on menus. We want to have fun with it.
The cookbook is, and I know I haven't seen the cookbook yet, but the cookbook is, I assume, based on what I've just heard you say.
Look at it.
That it is, it is recipes from restaurants that have been modified for Eat Fit.
Exactly.
Is that right? So well, that if a person wants to look for their favorite recipe somewhere, they can look it up in here, and if it's in here, they'll have a better version of it.
Right. So these are recipes from restaurants that are already Eat Fit in the restaurant. So
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So the restaurant has served these dishes over the years as Eat Fit items, and then what we had to adapt was scaling it down to make it for the home cook.
I see.
You know, because things are just batched so big. But as we as we'd worked with these restaurants, we're like, man, these are like dishes that we can't stop thinking of. They're so delicious. They're so beautiful. And then let's compile these into a cookbook. So yeah, these have all been on the menu of restaurants. The dessert chapter is a little bit different. We call it, so you're flipping right now, I believe this is Tommy's Cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this, if you went to Tommy's right now, you would see that Cioppino on the menu. And so that, the Indulge chapter, which is our sweets, that's the biggest challenge for restaurants because the restaurants aren't familiar with almond flour, coconut flour, you know, some of these natural plant-based sweeteners are just, that's a hard thing for them sometimes if they don't have a pastry chef. So we turn to Swerve that's owned here locally and ask for their help in the Indulge chapter. So the Indulge chapter of our desserts has not all been on restaurant menus, but the other dishes have.
Where's the rosemary garlic biscuits from?
So that was these are all in our Indulge chapter. That's from Swerve. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I see. Okay.
But all of our non-dessert recipes have been featured in restaurants.
Okay. So, what is the one dish? I'm going to use a little crude terminology here. What is the one dish that when you got it to go Eat Fit, you went, oh man, I bagged that one.
Gosh, there's a lot that we have like a lot of enthusiasm about. That it's a surprise for us.
Yeah, let's say a surprise. Well, one that you really wanted and you thought, oh, they're never going to go for that.
Well, you know what place I can say? Because I think it's the most recent that's in my head. Dat Dog. Really. I thought, yeah, we can try it. But And Dat Dog is one who several years ago, I remember I saw someone from Dat Dog walk past our booth at the Louisiana Restaurant Association Expo. And I was speaking and said, you know, words were coming out of my mouth and said, hey, you know, have you heard about Eat Fit? This might be a fit. And he just kept walking as if nothing was happening. I thought, all right. And then now we have Eat Fit on the menu at Dat Dog. So those are types of places. And they have vegetarian and vegan and then just also some that are because they do hand make a lot of those. And then
the sausages, because I can't imagine that you could ever make processed meats like sausages, which I'm all about. Okay. Eat Fit. I mean, how do you do that?
Yeah, so there's four, and,
really?
And several of them are vegan, some are vegetarian, but the bread is the problem also.
Mm.
So
yeah.
They call them greeny weenies because they're wrapped in like a lettuce thing instead of on the bun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I usually do tacos. You
exactly.
Know, I do it and it's great. It's like a grilled meat and a salad.
Right.
It's, you don't really, I don't know. After you stop eating bread, we were talking about bread a minute ago because I just quit eating it totally, except there's a few. There's a few that clear that bar. And I went to Cochon today, and they have you ever had their rolls?
Yes, they are delicious.
They
yes.
are really good.
Bread is my favorite of all. I mean, there's. I don't know that I've had a bread that I don't like.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's my favorite.
I've had a lot of breads that I don't like, and I used to eat them indiscriminately just because they were put in front of me. And then I read a book about flushing, you know, the fat flush book, and it's kind of that anti-inflammatory flush the body of all toxins thing. And I was terrified of bread for years. And yeah.
Yeah, yes, it's by by no means is it Eat Fit. I just do love it, though. And yeah. it's one of those things I think a lot of people kind of have their weakness. A lot of people, it might right. be sweets. For yeah. me, it's good bread with some olive oil, and I'm happy.
Yeah, really good. Mm-hmm. Bellegarde.
Bellegarde is fantastic. In fact, I think I just messaged them as I was on my way here and at a light. We're going over there to their new facility in 2 weeks. They have two varieties of their breads that actually fit the Eat Fit criteria, mm-hmm. and we love that. You know, they're a delicious and wonderful company.
Well, that's about as close as you can get to really natural. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He is seriously
yes.
natural.
Agreed.
All right, 260-6368 is the number. We are talking to Molly Kimball, who has a new book out called The Eat Fit Book, and you've probably seen those little symbols on menus all around town. Specifically over 300 restaurants, which is just an amazing accomplishment. Anyway, if you have any questions for her, 260-6368 is the number. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Welcome back. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. It's great to be here with you, as well as Molly Kindle, who is...
Kimball.
Did I get it wrong?
Kimball?
But I saw on your notes you have it with a D. So.
With a D. Okay, well.
But it's Kimball, yes.
Somebody get me an alligator here. Anyway, great to have you on the show because you've been on, you know, like 10, 15 times over the years.
I don't even know how that's possible that a nutritionist has been on your show that many times.
It's true.
Thank you.
But, you know, there's one thing when I feel like whether I know anything about this or not, which I really don't. She's the one in the family who really does. But... what I kept coming back to was something that I still would tell anybody who's trying to lose weight, because I really have lost a lot of weight. And people I know are walking up to me and asking me, what's the deal? Are you diseased? Do you have some problem? And we scoot that off as fast as we can. But what I always tell them is that really a lot of these things can... are not particularly good for you to eat, but I always just viewed it as something you can accomplish by not eating anything, but by eating, small amounts of everything. Really, you don't have to completely, unless it's, you know, something terribly poisonous, but...
There's a lot of poisonous stuff out there.
Well, yeah, but you need...
But I agree completely with what you're saying, Tom, and I personally, you know... When we go out to dinner with friends, you know, sometimes people are like, they're hesitant to reach for the bread basket, you know, or whatever. And I'm always the first to say there's no judgment. You know, like if you want the fried soft shell po' boy, get it. You know, I don't judge. And I also don't. On the flip side, though, I think sometimes people may judge because I will be at a restaurant and I'll sometimes be the first to reach for that bread, not only because I love it, as we said mm-hmm. earlier, but also because I don't want people to think that I'm giving that judgy eye. So I'm going to reach and have some and all that. Mm-hmm. But if there's not really anything that I would say I truly love the way it tastes and I enjoy it, mm-hmm. but I don't allow myself to have it, I don't believe in that, you know? But I do know that the things that I tend to reach for on the regular basis are what leave me feeling the best and optimal, which mm-hmm. is like our Eat Fit criteria. But I'm going to have other things all the time, but small bits of them if I really enjoy them.
Yeah, that's it. It's 100%. You still get the pleasure from yeah. it.
And then realizing, though, I think, you know, a lot of times if someone is simply using something like weight as the motivator, it's really hard to stay on track mm-hmm. because especially if someone has a lot of a long way to go, it can be really discouraging. But I ask people to instead use as the motivator, how are you feeling right now? Because if at 10 a.m. you eat the donuts or the king cake or the birthday cake that's in your office kitchen and you haven't even had lunch yet, you're
gonna better
be
not
crashed.
Eat all of those things you just named.
But that's what I'm saying. If you eat that at 10 a.m., all mm-hmm. that sugar, you're going to want to put your head down and curl under your desk at 3 o'clock for a nap. So I don't look at something like a donut in the office kitchen at 10 a.m. as what's in that donut. It's this many calories, is this much sugar. I look at it as, how's it going to leave me feeling? And so I'll kind of look at food like that. And I think if we look at it as what's it doing to me right now, it's a lot easier for us to decide the better things to fuel our bodies with. If we think, if I eat that, I could develop diabetes in 20 years, that's hard to motivate us right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that there are people who have just eaten that way for so long that they don't even know that there's another way to feel.
I absolutely do. And we have, I have a lot of clients who will make a lot of changes nutritionally, but it's incrementally. And they maybe didn't realize just how much better they were feeling. And then they go on vacation and they go back into those old habits and they were hit by a truck.
Cool.
And they'll say, wow, I must have always felt this rotten.
Right.
I just didn't realize I felt
that's
that rotten.
Right, yeah.
And then, you know, and it's motivation to get back to how you're doing because you just of how you feel. So I think using the scale can be, you know, yes, that might be a long-term goal, but using these other things that help kind of keep us motivated on the minute-to-minute basis than these long-term weight goals.
Carb hangover, that's what I've been saying, is an absolute thing.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, if I eat a lot of, like if I eat a big thing of pasta, I really feel it.
Right. And you'll feel it the next day. You feel it that night. You don't have the energy. And one of the things that's really neat about Eat Fit that was like a side benefit that I didn't even really expect it going in was the impact that we would have with the restaurant staff that we worked with. Because we started like Eat Fit was let's help the community. When the community's dining out, let's make it easy to make that healthy choice. But it also affects the restaurants because it's the chefs, it's the sous chefs, it's the front of the house, back of the house. They start to know and learn, and then it trickles to their friends, their family. When they have health issues, they know they can come to us, you know. And so there's just so much that it's this kind of this gradual like shift in even just not only mindset but also just our own knowledge about things, which has been really rewarding.
Definitely. It makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Did you grow up thinking this, or did you have some epiphany?
That's a. I don't get asked that a lot, but I think it's. I did grow up like this.
Okay.
My dad has always been very nutrition and wellness minded, and back in the 70s, you know, he ate grape nuts and did all the things. You know, had his granola, but he also jogged when no one was jogging before they really had jogging shoes, and people were like, "What is he doing running down the street?" You know, so he's
watch
always
out for that one.
Yeah, he's always been very wellness minded, and so. I always kind of had an interest in it, and really when I was in high school, I didn't even know that, you know, being a dietitian, a registered dietitian or nutritionist, I didn't even know that was a career. And it wasn't until I was in my freshman year of college that I learned that this was something you could do for a living. I'm like, well, this is perfect, you know. So, yes, it's something I've always had an interest in, and my dad was really nutrition-minded. My parents split when I was three. My dad was a primary parent. My mom, when I would go to her house every dinner, was a chicken pot pie and a glass of milk every dinner, frozen chicken pot pie. So she could not have been less, and at the time she smoked a lot, she drank coffee all day, I mean everything. She couldn't have been less health-minded, but you know, I had that that influence by my dad, which kind of took over. Yeah.
Are either or both of them still around?
My mom passed away a few years ago. She did not drink the caffeine and smoke, or she did not like she did, and she had stopped smoking, but she still would have loved a good chicken pot pie.
Is that right? I was wondering if you had managed to change her habits at all.
Oh gosh, did I try? And then, but my dad is still here. I talk with him all the time. He proudly sports his Eat Fit BR shirt in Baton Rouge all the time, and he's an unofficial ambassador for us there. So yeah, he's really excited with where it's gone.
Do you have siblings?
I do. Through our family tree is very, very crooked and has lots of branches. But from my dad's first marriage, I have a half-brother and half-sister. And from his marriage to my stepmom, who's been married to now for like 30 years, I have two stepbrothers.
And where do they fall on the nutrition spectrum?
You know, my two stepbrothers are just, they're pretty solid. It's pretty just easy for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of them runs a lot, marathon runner and stuff like that. My half-brother, Kenny, he's struggling. I think he's on something or he's off. He's a very extreme person, way more than even I am. And so he's extreme on or off. And then my sister just kind of just rolls with it and rolls her eyes at all of us a little bit. But she cooks a lot. She actually was one of our recipe testers for the cookbook.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she's super talented in the kitchen, which is good for all of us.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, the chimes, which is something Tom has made fun of relentlessly for the last, well, since they've been in the neighborhood, not really in the neighborhood, but close enough on the North Shore. And the Vic Garretts, I don't know if you know him, but he has a new restaurant called LJ's, and he was at the Chimes for a long time. And I'll never forget when he first came in here to talk about the Chimes, because they started in Baton Rouge. And he said, he said, you know, when we came over here, we were doing things the way we did in Baton Rouge, and I realized pretty quickly that the North Shore is a much more sophisticated palette, and I almost fell out of my chair because the North Shore is not as sophisticated anything. And I just find it so interesting that within a fairly close, you know, geographical area, you can have sophistication levels, culinarily speaking, that are so varied, like Shreveport. You know, you're going to have to go in and gut it. You know what I mean?
It is very different. Tom, do you disagree with that, or did you? You said he was going to roll his eyes about the chimes.
No. He did roll his eyes about the chimes for many, many years. And, you know, Tom and the Chimes is a whole other show.
Do you like it? Do you not love it?
It's better than it used to be. But
I don't think that's it. I think Tom's just worn down.
You know, I worked there in college at the one in Baton Rouge on Elsie campus. It's actually where I met my husband. I wasn't working the night we met, but I met him there.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So I have a painting. There's a local artist here named Adam Hall, and he painted the chimes for us. It's on our fireplace mantle at home.
Uh-huh.
Because that's where we met.
Oh, well, that's
you have
perfect.
A sweet spot in your heart.
Yes.
Don't even try to Eat Fit there.
We have tried. They have not adopted it yet. They're one of the no's, and I add in the not yet in my head. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
Are they? I don't think you're going to get them.
There are things there for sure that could fit. I think they think it's harder than what it would be. You know, just taking the time. That first go round, there's some learning. And then once they get Eat Fit on the menu, it's pretty easy for them to roll after that. But it's that first step we need to take with them. So I'm hearing the not yet after I heard the no.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody that you've heard the no and you know it's a no? You don't have to say who it is, but...
There's a couple for different reasons that aren't even, you know, related to the menu or nutrition or anything like that. They have other reasons or other ties or allegiances. And so you go, okay, I have to just let that go for now.
Exactly. Let this one go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you started getting this rolling in, I would imagine there reached a point where it was sort of critical mass and there was no turning back and this steamroller was just going all over town and people were signing on. Were people starting to come to you? Did restaurants start coming to you at some point?
I would imagine.
Yeah, they have. And it still goes both ways. There's some that we do a specific outreach to, and then some they come to us. And then what's also really neat is vendors and distributors like New Orleans Fish House. They're big advocates of Eat Fit. Different local...
How would they be?
Well, interestingly...
Like, how does that work?
Well, they are salespeople calling the restaurants. And so when the restaurant says, I want to do a healthy dish, they say, why don't you talk to Eat Fit?
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Even a little silent ambassadors.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so even different liquor companies, you know, when they say they want to do a lower sugar cocktail, well, why don't you bring in Eat Fit and do a cocktail? Some mm-hmm. of our local bakeries who provide different breads and bakery items, you know, same thing there. And so it's been neat because there's other ways that restaurants are sometimes hearing about it from the people that they're sourcing their ingredients from.
A silent army out there.
It's cool. And especially when there's been one project that maybe we worked on with them and then they realize, wow, okay, this is pretty cool. And they see how it could be. And then they're kind of, they help to become our advocate unofficially. Yeah.
Well, this is... surely, I'm not surprised that it's interesting because you've been here so many times and it's fun, but you didn't have this one.
Well, that's why
yeah.
I have most of the questions because,
yes.
you know, Tom's not, you know.
Smart.
No. No, but I mean, it's like the diet thing is just not something you're really
who,
into,
me?
You
well,
know?
And I feel like she's probably heard our conversations a lot and has her own questions.
She has to beg me to eat in the morning. She
yeah.
did today.
Yeah.
In fact.
Yeah. Thomas, yeah, he's just.
What can I say?
He doesn't even bother to eat, generally speaking.
I'm in great shape for a guy like me.
My dad used to always say, I'm in great shape for the shape I'm in. I think it's time for you to adopt that one, Tom.
Yeah.
Tom, you know, there's one of the guest hosts on Friday is a real. She's also a dynamo, and she's into vegan and stuff like that. So I said, look, load all this up on a day that you are the guest host, and I'm just throwing all of these things to you because, you know, it's a vegan woman in Britain. It's this anti-inflammatory woman that she was interested in, that we already did an interview. But, you know, pretty much Tom was like, you know, through all of it. So I must say, Molly, it's a testament to your personality and charm that Tom has allowed you to sit in this chair for as many times as he has. I just want to let you know that, because this ain't his thing.
Okay? Well, Tom, it's always been pleasant. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and thank you for coming whenever you do.
She's not leaving yet.
Let me ask this important question. Is our friend Chef Andrea coming? He's not. Okay, so we're done with him for the day.
Yeah, so we can finish talking.
So we can do the rest of the show without having to worry about that.
I'm going to say something that is a little bit controversial.
You?
Because I really do. I don't look like I know a lot about this stuff, but I do, okay? And as I'm eating the excessive amount of chocolate, but it's really high, dark chocolate content, I know that, you know, I do know a lot about this stuff from the things that I loved those. But I have to say this. I'm going to just be honest with you, okay? I don't believe that you can do fake sugar. Fake sugar has to be something, okay? And that doesn't seem like it translates into something good. So
tell me your
question. Fake sugar.
I'll tell you about the sweetener, but tell me what you're going to say about chocolate too.
I love those until I found out they were made with fake sugar, and I went,
yeah. So there's a big difference in sweeteners.
Yes,
so
let's talk about that.
You have the no calorie sweeteners. You have your artificial, which don't exist in nature. They are chemically created. That compound does not exist in nature, and that's our pink, our blue, our yellow. Then you have what is derived, Swerve, which is the sweetener that's used in our cookbook, is derived from natural plant-based sources. So there's the sweetener is actually called, the extracted from plant sources is called erythritol.
Is it licorice, the licorice root or something?
Okay. It may be some from there, but it's all a variety of types of fruits and vegetables that it can be. So it is erythritol, which is extracted from, derived from the fruits and vegetables, and then a type of fiber added to it to give that bulk. And so it is not something that is chemically created, it's not synthetic, and it has zero glycemic effect, which means it doesn't affect our blood sugar, insulin, but it doesn't have any of our negatives of aspartame, sucralose, or saccharin. So I don't like those three, the artificials. But when I look at a natural, plant-based, no-calorie sweetener, I'm 100% comfortable with it. And I see those in two very different buckets. One thing that I'll make sure is we can say natural, plant-based sweetener, and that can also mean agave and all these other, you know, still high sugar products.
They're all high sugar, but is agave natural at least?
Well, it's natural and it's plant-based, but it's just like sugar. I don't love agave at all. So something like Swerve, and there's other products. I love Swerve because they're based out of here in New Orleans. But on shelves, you may see something like a Swerve or Truvia, Purvia. And these are all blends of these natural plant-based extracts that are sweet. And there's compounds in them that are like really, really sweet, and then other components of it that are less sweet but bulky, and those merge together kind of give the texture like more like sugar. The benefit of Swerve is that it measures cup for cup like sugar, so you get the bulk and the functionality too. It caramelizes and stuff like that. So while I would agree with you if it's talking about the pink, the blue, the yellow, I don't feel that way on the natural plant-based no-calorie sweeteners like this. These get the green light for me. What were you going to say about chocolate? You were saying that.
I love chocolate in all forms. You know what I do? I found something out which is so depressing. I discovered 100% chocolate, and I didn't think there was anything in it. Just like, I mean, 100% of something means that it's just that, right? So it's 100% chocolate. I just stumbled onto it. It was in London. I brought it back. And I tried it, and I tried melting it, and it didn't do well. And then I have the largest stash of chocolate of any human alive. I'm convinced of this. And it's from all over the place, and it's always like a 72% or higher because I just don't do the other stuff. So I mistakenly made hot chocolate, which if it gets cold, that's what I'm going to have for breakfast. And I made it, and I thought, well, you know, this doesn't taste very sweet. This tastes kind of funny. And then I realized, oh, my gosh, it's the 100% stuff. But it makes a really great hot chocolate. And now I don't do hot chocolate any other way, so I don't know what I'm going to do with the other pounds of stuff that I have. But this was good. I loved your
The recipe that she's talking about, we had the cookbook open to this page. It basically looks like your old school Reese's peanut butter cups, but it is a salted dark chocolate peanut butter or almond butter cup. I make these weekly because we can't keep them in our house. And the ingredients are really simple. It's cocoa powder, coconut oil, swerve, make sure chocolate coating, and then you put that in the freezer, let it harden just that little layer while you're mixing the inside, which is almond butter, peanut butter, sun butter, whatever you want. And they're really simple to make, but we have, and everyone who comes over to our house, my husband is like,
they're
try these. Yeah, they were hands down, I think, the favorite hit from our cookbook launch party.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this, though. When I hear the two words, hyphenated, plant-based, that's like, bing, sends off. Because I feel like all of our food is manipulated. All of it is overprocessed. I'm sorry, I defy you to create a burger that is based on plants to taste like meat. There's something amuck with that. And I say that if you can't eat, like, it's got to be natural. It's got to be all. I would rather eat a pound of lard than
Oh, that's good
oil.
For you.
Okay.
You know, a lot
oil.
Of times companies are choosing to use the words plant-based versus vegan because vegan makes it seem like you have to be vegan to eat it, you know. So someone will say, brands will say that it's a plant-based as opposed to putting the label vegan. And they're looking at that as a more neutral term than vegan.
Well, okay. It's my turn this time. there's something that that came up years ago now. Now that I'm thinking, now I'm completely wasting my time because I forget.
Well, we're almost done anyway.
We're almost done.
You know, I could talk this stuff for hours.
Yeah, I'm sure you could.
I really could. I could talk hours because I've done a lot of research on it, and I don't know if we would agree on everything. I don't know.
And that's okay because that's what you know. A lot of times, our parameters. Someone will say. Well, you should be non-GMO or whatever. Mm. What are the restaurants going to be able to follow through with is also what we look at.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, everything in moderation is really a good, but I don't know. I just can't get away from the natural stuff. Molly has just confirmed that she's going to be here Tuesday in Tom's chair. Tom, your chair is being used for diet subjects.
Really?
I'm sorry. She can maybe sit over there.
Mm.
We'll let her direct the show from there. Good night, everyone. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Molly, for coming in.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.